In our gospel for this day, from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28, Jesus helps us understand the characteristics of leadership. Leadership that he desires for the body of Christ. Leadership that he wants for his disciples and for each of us. Listen to this account from the life of Jesus from Matthew. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Are you able to drink? Can you drink from the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from the cup I am going to drink. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to the ones for whom they've been prepared by my Father." When the ten other disciples heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These are the words of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. This morning, as we consider these words that come to us from Jesus, I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, help us this day to truly engage in what true leadership looks like for the church. Help us this day as we ask the question, why church, to ask, what kind of leaders do you want us to be? Help us to follow you. Help us to lead by following your example. Fill us with your Spirit so that this day we might be the people, the leaders, the followers you desire for us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. So do you remember that childhood game, Follow the Leader? Do you remember that game? You used to pick a leader, and then everybody would follow in line, and you'd mimic that leader, right? You'd have to do everything that leader would do. And according to the game, if you couldn't mimic the leader, what would happen? You're out. I'd like to suggest for us that in many ways, with one big, big exception, the Bible describes leadership as an activity of follow the leader. The big exception is this. Whereas in follow the leader, the childhood game, the goal is to get you out. In Jesus' model of leadership, the goal is to get you in. The goal is all inclusive. The goal of Jesus' leadership style is to include, not to exclude. The goal of Jesus' leadership style is that we would follow and mimic in such a way, imitating the one who truly is the leader that shows us what real leadership looks like. And he doesn't leave us to our own devices. He fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we can follow in order to lead. As we ponder this today, I'd like to invite us to once again pray so that we might focus on what it is that God is calling us to do by way of following and leading. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we have already been engaged in prayer, but prayer is designed to be intentional. Help it to be more than just an activity we do. Help us to be connected to you through the gift of prayer. This day, as we consider the question, why church? And as our community and country ponders that question as well, help us as the Good Shepherd family pondering the questions of why church, to consider also why follow and why lead. Lord, these things and everything else that we have in our hearts and minds today, we pray in your most holy and precious name. Amen. When Jesus began his ministry, what was one of the first things he said to those that he wanted to be part of his church, part of his leadership team? What was the first thing that Jesus said to Peter, James, and John on the beach? What was his first words? Follow me. His first words, follow me. I would submit to you today that if we're to truly lead like Jesus would desire for us, that the first words we need to listen to are, follow me, and follow Jesus in that. As we think about what it means to follow Jesus in order that we might lead, I'd like to submit to you that there are three eyes that help us see better what following Jesus is all about. The first is invitation. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus invites. He invites people to follow him. He invites people to learn from his example. He invites people to be part of his kingdom. He invites people to be part of the church. Always, always, there is the invitation that comes from Jesus. Second I is that Jesus invites us to imitate. He models leadership over and over again. And when the disciples don't quite get it right, as happens often, he corrects them. He wants them to imitate, to be leaders like he would lead, to be servant leaders, as we're going to focus on in just a little bit. And the third I is inspiration. Jesus always inspires. He fills us with the Spirit. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, remain here. He doesn't send them out right away. Remain here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will go to all Jerusalem, Judea, and all the ends of the earth. Jesus always invites. Jesus always invites us to imitate. And Jesus always inspires. Those are the three I's that I believe help us to follow and help us to be the kind of leaders that Jesus desires for us. So as we think about that kind of leadership, we got to see that kind of leadership up close and personal this past week when we went to Honduras. And I'd like to invite you to see if you can see the three I's personified in this eyewitness account.
Hi, I'm Janine Allen, and I've been invited today to share a story with you about my recent mission trip to Honduras. We served as part of World Gospel Outreach, which would go out into impoverished communities in Honduras and set up in the local churches. We would set up medical, dental, and optical, and then we would invite the local communities in. People would wait for hours to see us, as these are services that they generally would never have available to them and ones that they definitely could not afford. Once they received a service, they would come and sit down with a team member who would just have the opportunity to talk with them and pray with them and just share the love of God. And that's where my story begins. That's where I met Pedro. This man came and he sat in my station, and he had very soiled clothing and rip in his pants, and he was there with a young son, and he was just so excited as he held up two bags. One had glasses in them, and the other one had medicine in them. And I just smiled at him, and I said, oh, Pedro, I am so glad that we could provide these services for you today. And he just responded and said he is beyond grateful, as he could never afford these things. And as we talked, I just simply said to him, or asked him if he knew about Jesus as the Lord and Savior of his life. And at that point, he began to talk very quickly, and his hands started going, and he was pointing to the window. I was anxiously waiting what the translator would tell me, and she responded, "Oh, yes," he said, "he has heard about Jesus because he comes here on Sundays and he sits outside that window and he listens to the pastor's message. So yes, he has heard about Jesus." And I looked at Pedro and I said, "Pedro, why are you sitting outside the church, listening at the window? Why have you not come in?" And he looked down at the ground and he shrugged his shoulders and he said, "I had never been invited in. Not until today, not until that medical brigade, had he ever been invited in the church." So that led to a great conversation, and we were able to talk with him, and he accepted Jesus in his heart that day, and we were able to give him a Bible and connect him to the pastor there at that local church. And when he left, he gave me just the biggest hug, and his son gave me a hug, and they said, "Thank you so much. We will be here on Sunday, and this time we're going to be sitting in the pews." Well, that story just makes me smile, but as I shared that with my team from Honduras, it also made us just stop and pause and think about our own lives and just really think about if there's anybody that we know that's in our lives, that's in our community, that's on the outside looking in, that is just simply waiting for that invitation to come.
Who is it that's waiting for our invitation? When Jesus invites us to follow, he invites us in a very personal way to consider who is it that's waiting on the outside for our invitation. Jeanine came up close and personal with Pedro. And from that time on, and we work with the churches, the local churches, he's received that invitation. Now he's going to continue to see what it looks like to imitate following Jesus. And he's not going to be left alone. He's going to continue to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, just as he was during our medical optical dental brigade. Who is it that's awaiting our invitation? We're glad that each of you are here because God has called you to follow and God has called you to lead. So what does it look like to follow Jesus? I believe that one of the ways that we personify it at Good Shepherd is when our vision statement allows us to see what that invitation looks like. Reach and transform spiritually distracted people so they come to know, love, and serve God. And our core values lift those vision statements, that vision statement up. For example, one of those core values is that prayer is intentional. I love this picture. That wasn't an isolated picture. Prayer undergirded everything we did. And the Bible tells us that a little child shall lead them. This little child touched our hearts, and she wasn't the only one. Child after child, person after person touched our hearts as we prayed with them. This little child may well have been praying that God would protect her from abuse. This little child may well have been praying that God would protect her from the poverty in which she lives, that somehow God would provide. This child may well have been providing that Jesus would truly come into her heart. I don't know exactly what this little child was praying, but I know that for her, prayer was very intentional, as it was for everyone on our team, because we could not simply do what God enabled us to do without the power of prayer. Another thing that made this so relevant is that these are the kinds of conditions in which so many live. And in fact, this house is kind of in the high rent district. We saw houses that were much more humble and not as nice as this one. We put concrete floors into homes where they had only dirt, and because of all the rain, mud in their homes. When we see and are confronted by the news that we're confronted with this week, that caravan from Honduras and from Central America, those people are trying to escape. They're trying to escape poverty, which is so extreme. They're trying to escape unemployment, which is so high. They're trying to escape violence, which is so rampant in their world. What's the best solution? Well, one of the ways that we seek for solution is to go as our medical team did and provide care for them to make their own country better, their own lives more manageable. That's why these mission trips are important, but it doesn't end there. Another thing that we discovered is that kids matter. There were 90 kids that came here for First Communion instruction yesterday. Kids matter. As we were given opportunity to shampoo their hair, and that's more than just shampoo. So many of the kids have lice. We shampooed with lice shampoo to help rid them of that pest that they live with. We cared for them in all kinds of ways because kids matter. And with that came an invitation. There were kids that came to the church who otherwise may not have come to the church so they could receive a gift, so that they could hear about Jesus, so they could sing God's praises, so that they could pray together. Kids really matter. Worship is passionate. We believe that with all our hearts, and we discovered worship that was so passionate again when we went. They sing with all their hearts. They sing to God in whom they put their trust and confidence, and they invite others to follow that lead. There were so many others that came alongside of us, Hondurans who came alongside of us, and they worshiped with us because worship is passionate. It opens up the doors for God's Spirit to work. Relationships are caring, is another of our core values. And we discovered relationships that go deep. That little baby that Janine is holding on your left, that's a miracle baby. All babies are, of course. But her mom, who is sitting right in front of Janine, had to have her leg amputated because of cancer. That amputation occurred during the pregnancy. The doctor said there was a very, very, very small chance that that child would survive. But the baby did. And that woman, who had not believed in God before, accepted Jesus into her heart during our time with them. It was an invitation. It was a way for us to imitate as Christ leads. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God worked and inspired in phenomenal ways. Another of our core values is that teaching is biblical and transformational. All of what we did was undergirded by God's word. As you see Pastor Suapa there witnessing, sharing, praying with one of her fellow countrymen, one of the ladies from her community. We want you to know that because of your incredible generosity, Good Shepherd helped pay for Pastor Suapa's seminary education. She has gone through seminary. She is a Lutheran Honduran pastor. And because of your generosity, when you contribute your offerings, they go not only to care for the needs of people right here in our immediate community and for the needs that we have here, but they care for people like this. And because of your generosity, when we are generous, then things like this can happen. We helped pay for her seminary education so she can continue the work using the Bible, which is transformational and makes a difference. And oh my goodness, is Pastor Suapa making a difference, addressing the needs of those who otherwise join the caravan so they can make their country, their community, their church better and stronger. Spiritual growth is expected, another core value. And we experienced spiritual growth over and over and over again as God touched our hearts, inspiring us to do the work God had called us to do. And the final core value that I want to lift up is that generosity is a way of life. Because of your incredible generosity, we were able to bring dental care and medical care and optical care. That's an auto refractor that we used to get the right prescription for the eyes of the people. Some of these people had never had a pair of glasses before, ever in their life. And the vision of some was so poor that they could not even see the faces of their grandchildren. Because of your generosity, you're helping to make a difference. Because when God touches and inspires your hearts to be generous with your resources, you can make a difference so that when things like the caravan are happening, you can know that you're helping to make a difference to make life better for those people who live in extreme poverty and live where unemployment is so horrendous and live where violence is so awful. Let me tell you about Miriam, just to help you understand why those people are fleeing and joining the caravan. Miriam is a person that I had a chance to pray with when I was in Honduras. Miriam came to my station, and I asked her if she'd gotten the medicine that she needed. And she very gratefully, like Pedro had with Janine, was so grateful for everything that she had received, because she, like Pedro, could simply not afford it. I asked her, did she get everything she needed? She said, well, almost. And I said, what do you mean almost? She said, well, they couldn't give me all the medicine because we didn't have everything I needed, but I got a lot, and I'm grateful. But you see, I'm suffering yet from these bullet wounds. And with that, she began to tell me her story. She had been on her way to church, and she on her way to a Bible study when she stopped off at her son's place in order that she might say hi to him. She hadn't seen him in a couple of days. When she got there, there were two men that were confronting her son. They wanted drugs. It was a case of mistaken identity. He did not have drugs. It was somebody else that must have had them. He didn't. They thought he was holding out on them. And so they pulled out their guns and they shot him. They shot him twice. As he fell to the floor, Miriam stepped between the gunmen and her son in order to save his life. In the process of all of that, they shot her four times, once in her chest, once in her stomach, once in her thigh, and once in her arm. She's still recovering from those wounds. I asked her about that, and she said, God protected me. My son lived, and I lived. And we talked about that passage in Scripture that talks about how greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, in this case for her son. Miriam had put herself in the way to lay down her life if that's what it took. And we talked about how grateful she is that Jesus did that for her. She knows Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She trusts in God, and that's the condition in which she lives. Our care for these people is simply about following Jesus. It's simply about imitating how would Jesus respond. It's simply about being inspired by the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do. So thank you. Thank you for your generosity that has been and that will continue to be, because it makes a difference in Honduras and in Africa and in Guatemala and in Haiti and in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and those other places where God has called us to go, to follow the leader, to make a difference. Jesus said these words in our gospel for today. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, Jesus says these words, instructing us to lead with humility and assurance. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Think of the measure of faith that God gave Miriam to do what Miriam did for her son. And again, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And yet again, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with compassion, Those are the marks of a Christ follower leader. These are the characteristics of biblical leadership. To accept the invitation, to imitate Christ, and to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So how does that play itself out in our local community? I was inspired this week by the Neuqua Valley female football player. Did you see the news? Did you read the article? I was also inspired by the letter that her mom wrote to the school. Let me share a portion of that with you. It's not about the girl. It's about so much more. It's one thing to talk about kindness, acceptance, and tolerance. But to put your words into action is challenging. My daughter has been asking me since middle school to join the football team. And I was worried about the social atmosphere. I was worried about the girls in middle school and how they'd perceive her as different. I wasn't sure if she was mature enough to handle the awkwardness and hormonal imbalance of middle school, on top of being part of an all-boys team and bonding and connecting with girls to form her social relationships. Perhaps shame on me for not trusting her or her peers at that time. But I'd heard so many stories of girl drama in middle school, I didn't want to add an element to that dynamic. It seemed like a responsible decision at the time for her overall well-being, for her to thrive academically and socially in middle school and not be part of the football team. She was involved athletically in volleyball, ultimate frisbee, and cheerleading. She seemed content. She went to Neuqua Valley High School and participated in the ultimate club and joined the cheerleading team. Another good year academically and socially, mixed with typical teenage stuff. As sophomore year was in full swing, she told me she was going to start lifting with the football team at 5:30 a.m. every morning. We got in the car before dawn each morning. I thought, surely this is not going to last. It can't be long term. It was early. It was dark. We were tired. I worried. I didn't want her to have social issues at school. It seemed with each negative comment came many more positive ones, as the guys stood behind her and seemed to want her to succeed. Still, I worried, and I listened. Spring men flyers are coming home about school football, and Tessa wanted to sign up. She is athletic. She's a girl who has, but does she have the grit, and the brawn, and the will, and determination? Apparently so. She would, but could she handle it all socially and physically? So I talked to the coach, Coach Ellinghaus. He believed in her. I believed in her. And she believed in herself. She made it through June and July camps, and she loved every minute of the hard work. August brought full pads and gear along with full tackle. She got clocked. I got the call from Coach Ellinghaus, who was concerned about her but not ready to cut her. She'd met all of his expectations. She'd come to every practice. She did everything asked of her. Clear of any concussions and zero interest in quitting, she was ready to immediately get back on the field. On Saturday morning, she was bused to Glenbard High School with the rest of the team. I sat in the stands and I listened to the parents behind me. I wonder if 33 will get to play today. I hope so, another person replied. I'm afraid she's going to get hurt, said someone else. And then, oh my, the parents behind me said, 33's going onto the field. My heart was racing. I knew hers was too. I worried. I stood up. I followed the play as I watched her on the field. I watched the players coach her on the sidelines. I watched the coaches giving her tips. I watched a team truly accept my daughter, regardless of her gender. In a world of adversity and cruelness, perhaps I should have trusted the goodness in people back in middle school. The Neuqua Valley High School football team and coaches proved that kindness, acceptance, and tolerance do exist. You didn't crush her spirit. You fostered it. You didn't say she couldn't. You trained her so that she could. You allowed her to believe in herself, so she did. You provided opportunity to grow, so she will. You walk the talk, and so does your team. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Invitation, imitation, inspiration. I wonder if that's the way our relationship with God is meant to be when we follow Jesus. God never crushes our spirit. He fosters it. God never says we can't. He helps us so we can. God allows us to believe in ourselves because He does. God provides us with opportunity to grow so that we will. God walks the talk. As He came to earth, God invites us to follow Jesus, to imitate Christ, our leader, and to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, help us to lead as You would lead. Help us to start by following You. Help us to imitate You. Help us and fill us, inspire us with Your Holy Spirit. In Your name.